On this second Sunday of the season of Lent, we hear of the account that we are all familiar with, known as the Transfiguration. But to understand the meaning of the Transfiguration, we have to understand the background of what is taking place. You see, Jesus has faced tremendous resistance from within and without. From the very beginning, they have questioned him. They have doubted him. They argued about him. They resisted his message. And eventually, it boils over and accumulated into them crucifying him. So the resistance is not something that is minor. We're talking about a real resistance that eventually come to murder. Even within among the disciples, there was resistance. When the Lord Jesus takes them aside and tells them, "I am the Messiah. I'm going to suffer and die." They say, "No, that cannot be." They resist the image of the true Messiah for their own idea of the Messiah. And so even within the ranks, there were resistance. Peter, in particular, who is going to be the first pope. James, who is going to be the second most powerful man in the church, the bishop of the mother church in Jerusalem. John is going to be the longest living disciples, meaning he's going to be influencing the church for a long, long time. Peter's going to be long gone. James is going to be long gone. All the other disciples are going to be long gone. John is going to live until he's over 100 years old. And his teaching, his memory of the teaching of our Lord will carry on for a long time. So those three disciples, the Lord Jesus took up to the mountain in this tremendous environment of resistance. In a few weeks, he's going to go to die. So on the mountain then, once and for all, God reveals to these three pillars, important pillars of the church, who the Lord Jesus really is, and tell them to stop resisting. We have the Lord Jesus appearing on the mountain with Moses. Moses was the deliverer of the people of God from slavery in Egypt. The Lord Jesus is the deliverer of all mankind from sin. Elijah was the prophet that was taken up to the heaven by the chariot of fire, and the tradition says that you will not see him again until the Messiah comes. And here he is on the mountain speaking to the one. And yet the resistance continues. As Peter said, "Isn't this glorious? Let's stay here. Let's build tents and stay here and meditate and enjoy this heavenly vision." And it takes the voice of the Father from the cloud saying, "Stop. Stop fighting me. Listen to my son." My brothers and sisters, this is the history and the reality of our relationship with God. We fight God. Lent is a time for us to fight the devil. Lent is a time for us to fight ourselves. But yet, the church knows we spend a lot of time fighting God. And so the story of Transfiguration is heard on this second Sunday of Lent, so that we all can hear the voice of God saying, "Stop fighting me." Just the other day, I was talking to a Catholic woman who said, "Father, I'm going to have my ashes scattered at Disneyland." And I tried to explain to the woman, "Don't do that. You're allowed to have your body cremated, but bury the ash, because your body don't belong to you. Your body belongs to God. Give respect to it." "No, Disneyland it is." And I have it from someone who actually works at Disneyland telling me that it is actually very popular. People love Disneyland so much that they would have their loved one takes their ashes and scatter it at Disneyland. And this person who works at Disneyland says, "Father, you know what happened? We just scoop them up, put them in the trash. Disneyland is not going to have a provision for you, okay? The church does. If you bring your ashes to the church will sprinkle it with holy water. The church will incense it. The church will bless it. The church will thank God for it. Go ahead, scatter in Disneyland. Scatter it anywhere." But why do we do this? I explained to the woman. The woman said, "No, that's what I want." We fight God. We want it our way, you see? There are those among us who say, "Why go to confession to a priest? I just go straight to God." Why would Jesus bother to gather his disciples after the resurrection and said, "Guys, go and forgive sins in my name. I command you." And the disciples did that, and they passed on the power to forgive on to the next generations of apostles, of disciples. And of course, they are priests and bishops today. Why did Jesus bother to do that? We don't know, but he did. But we fight him, don't we? We prefer. Of course, it is so much easier to go and talk to myself and think that I'm talking to God, confessing my sins. Of course, it's so much easier. It is so much harder to do it his way, to say, "I've got to go to a priest and bear my soul." How difficult is that? How humiliating is that? But yet, that's what he wanted. And I fight him, don't I? We fight God. I want my wedding at the beach. Well, the wedding is a sacred thing. It's a vows between a man and a woman, united by God, to make a family so that the two may become one, so that God may make other human beings out of their love. And so this act of love is consecrated to God. Therefore, God demands that you do it in the most sacred way, in God's house, in front of the God's priest, with two witnesses. No, I like the beach. You see what I'm saying? We fight God. We fight God. And we say, why do I have to baptize my baby? I'm going to wait for my baby to grow up and choose for itself whether it wants to be baptized or not. That's a very funny way of thinking. Because we don't say, "I'm going to let my baby choose to whether wear diapers or not. I'm not gonna let my baby choose whether he's gonna eat greens, you know, eat a vegetable or not. I'm gonna let my child grow up and choose whether he's gonna brush his teeth or go to school or not. We don't do that. We say, do this because it is good for you. I am your father, I am your mother. Do this. Then why? Why? Baptism is the introduction that we have our child to the Almighty God. God, here's the child you give me. I give you back. Bless it. Take it. Fill it with your presence for the rest of its life. I baptize it in your name. That's what happens. That's why God wants us to baptize. But we fight it, don't we? While we tell our children, brush your teeth, wear clothing, eat vegetable. Then we go, oh, you choose whether you're going to be a child of God or not. Why do we do silly things like this? Because we fight God. And so the church today on the second Sunday of Lent takes us to the mountain to listen to the voice of the Father saying from the clouds, stop, listen to him, my son, stop fighting him. When God says, I create you in my image, male and female, boy, we fight him on that, don't we? Oh, not us, I hope not, who's sane enough. But there are crazy people out there fighting God, saying that there's 422 genders. Do you know what I'm saying? They're fighting God out there. They love to fight God. Marriage is between a man and a woman. So clear. And they fight God. No, marriage is, you know, I'm going to have a wedding between my dog and your dog. That happens, you know, I'm not joking. You've seen it. I've seen it. And now, of course, they say marriage is between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. Who else? They fight God, don't they? We fight God, don't we? And so today, up on the mountain at the Transfiguration, God is saying, my son is the Messiah. He comes to save you. He comes to tell you the truth. Stop fighting him. Listen to him. There was a captain of a ship. In the middle of the night, this was before a long time ago, it was reported to him by his mate that there's a light out there in the way of their route. And so the captain said to his communicator, tell that ship over there, move out of the way. They clicked the Morris code, you know. And the answer came back, said, you move out of the way. And the captain have his communicator type back and said, we are a freighter, 40,000 tons. Get out of our way or else. Click, 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 click. And a click came back and said, you move out of our way. This is the lighthouse. And this is the way it is with us, right? We tell God, God, move out of the way. Move out of the way. I'm smart. I have all it figured out. Move out of my way. And God is saying, I'm a lighthouse. You can't fight me. Boy, we do love to fight God. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we come together to worship our God today, let us listen to the church having us hear the voice of the Father from the clouds. looking at the shining face of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the one who comes to save us, the one who comes to show us the truth. Let us pray together that in our life, we may stop fighting God.